on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Joe Biden thanking well-wishers after the former president's diagnosis of advanced prostate cancer.
There's been spread to the bones, which by definition means it is metastatic. But the good news is it is hormone responsive.
CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder. President Trump speaking with Russian President Vladimir Putin shortly, hoping to make progress towards a Ukraine ceasefire. John Quigley, an emeritus professor at Ohio State.
It's obviously not going to be a full resolution of the whole situation. But if anything can be done to move in that direction, it will be positive.
The House Budget Committee's Republican majority finally passed President Trump's economic package last night. Speaker Mike Johnson.
We'll save the largest amount of money that's been saved in at least several decades and probably arguably in the whole history of the country.
The bill hikes spending for the military and immigration enforcement, extends income tax cuts, and cuts spending on food stamps and Medicaid. CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barr.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. As we get closer to the peak tornado month of June, Wisconsin has already seen several touchdown. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more.
A total of 9 tornadoes tore through the state last week on Thursday. The National Weather Service conducted their damage surveys on Friday and rated 3 of them EF2s on the Enhanced Fujita Scale. The National Weather Service says winds of 125 miles per hour hit New Richmond in far northwest Wisconsin, and 120 mile per hour peak winds destroyed parts of Juneau, Mayville, and Colby in southern areas of the state. And the tornado in Juneau was on the ground for over 9 miles. The others were rated EF1s with 95 mile per hour winds in Lumira, Christie, and another in Juneau that hit the airport. The rest were EF0s in Rib Falls and Loyal with around 80 mile per hour winds there. Before Thursday, the state had seen 7 tornadoes in total this year, all of which appeared on April 28th. Now, in just 2 days so far this year, Wisconsin has experienced 16 in total. The state's average is 23 per year. Last year, we broke records with 45 tearing through our backyard.
Gas prices rose 7.1 cents over the last week for an average of $2.98 today. This is 2.5 cents higher than a month ago and over 38 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Oil prices jumped following President Trump's decision to reduce tariffs and strike new trade deals. This move caused gas prices to increase in over three-quarters of U.S. states last week. Drivers are seeing significant savings at the pump compared to a year ago, but that gap has narrowed as oil prices have rebounded. As it looks now, this could be one of the most affordable summers for motorists since the pandemic. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.82 to $2.89 per gallon. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Brewers and the Orioles. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Baltimore Orioles tonight at AmFam Field. After 7 years, Baltimore fired their manager, Brandon Hyde, over the weekend and replaced him with third base coach Tony Manzolino. Now, yesterday, the Brewers avoided a sweep. They beat the Twins 5-2. Pat Murphy conceding, the Brewers have not spent very much this year in free agency.
I trust the players. I like the players. I think they're good. Now, did we go spend a lot of money in the offseason, guys? Let's call a spade. No, we didn't. Are we real deep in the position player business? No, we're not. But we have good ones.
In golf, Scottie Scheffler shot 11 under par to win the PGA at Quail Hollow in Charlotte.
I've prepared my entire life, and to have a chance to win a tournament that I've dreamed about as a kid is a pretty cool feeling. And when you step up out on the first tee, there's definitely stress. It's definitely challenging. But at the same time, I mean, it's a lot of fun.
That's Scottie Scheffler with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today with a high in the mid to upper 50s this afternoon. A little breezy at times, especially later this afternoon. Tonight, breezy with showers after midnight, or low in the low 40s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered rain and a high in the mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, host of the new Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, and artist-actor Steve Segrin joins the program. Now that's how you Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to the third hour of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, here with not Greg Bach anymore. Greg had to make a quick exit, as he is known to do at this hour, so he can prepare for his show with Jane. But Sam is here. Welcome, Sam.
Hello. It's so good to be here.
I'm so glad you are here. Sam and the Doc doesn't have the same ring to it, so we're going to have to come up with something else.
Davison and the Doc, Tony Zimmerman on the texts says that might have a good ring to it.
I like that. Or we could do, we've also got Dom. So it's Davison, right. Dom and the Doc.
There we go.
Yeah.
That might just work.
For anybody who doesn't know, I'm actually going to be leaving Civic Media. I'm so sad in a couple weeks.
But what?
Yeah. I may be back in the fall helping with some podcasts here and there, but Dom will be taking over for me as producer of the John and Gordy Show going forward.
Oh, fantastic. Well, for today, we've got Davison, Dom, and the Doc, and the amazing Brittany Merlot is joining us once again.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. So well. Brittany, it is National May Ray Day.
Ooh.
I know. It's totally made up, but somebody made it up. And I love it because it is a celebration of sunshine. And that gives us an opportunity to talk about vitamin D, which comes from sunshine and was discovered here at the University of Wisconsin. So there is, yeah, like, let's celebrate sunshine and that.
Seriously, I had no idea. Go Wisconsin. I mean, that's the best part of the weather, the sunshine.
I know. So can we have some, please?
Well, if you're up north, you can have some. If you're down south, maybe.
What if I'm in the middle? I'm in Green Bay.
Probably not. No. How about a lake breeze for you in Green Bay? Oh, it's going to get rough, too. Today, it's about 25 mile per hour winds. By tomorrow, we're going to see the winds off the lake at about 40 miles per hour. So we're going to be stuck with some clouds, unfortunately. But we're going to celebrate the sunshine this weekend, which is perfect timing on Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I'll take the rain during the week while we have to work. Let's celebrate the sunshine, you know, internally today and then outside in it on the weekend, because we're going to dry things out by Thursday. We're looking to get a little bit warmer, too, as we move into the weekend, mid-60s for a good chunk of the state. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, sunny, dry. But we might have rain start to move in by Monday. So just heads up. If you're going to be out in a tent or outdoors or doing stuff like that, Monday might get a little dreary.
I heard you say Friday, Saturday, Sunday, sunny?
Yes.
Amazing Memorial Day weekend forecast. Oh, this is the one I ordered. Thanks for coming through.
You're welcome. I tried. You know, I had to order this up a couple months in advance, you know, and had to wait my turn. But Mother Nature decided to give Wisconsin a break finally.
This is because it is the unofficial start of summer for us here in Wisconsin. And many of us have already dusted off our grills because we had that beautiful week last week. Was that just last week?
It was.
Wow. So we really get to kick it off this upcoming weekend, and it sounds like it's going to be wonderful.
It really is. It snuck up on me, too. I don't know how it's here so fast, but I'm excited for it.
It just keeps happening that way. The older you get, the faster it comes.
Why is that true? Sam, are you ready for that?
For what is this? What is sneaking up on me?
Life.
I was talking earlier this morning. I went camping this past weekend without like a sleeping pad or anything like that. I was just on the ground, and it used to be just fine, but boy, it kicked my butt on Saturday night. I did not sleep well. Sneaking up on me, all right.
Yeah, that's where it starts. You can't do the ground floor camping much anymore. No. You'll need like 6 pads.
Yeah.
But at least you get a good forecast for Memorial Day.
Yeah. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be fantastic. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, Sam, let's keep this conversation going. We had Alan in our last segment with Men for Choice. He's a young guy. He graduated from college recently. And the organization that he works for, the mission is to talk with young men about why reproductive rights are important to them. I would love your thoughts as just a guy on this topic. Like, is this something that you care about? Is it uncomfortable to talk about?
For me, no. I guess I don't talk about it a ton, probably not as much as it should be talked about. I also somewhat think that I'm a bit of an outlier among men my age. Hopefully not, but I don't know. I feel like it is, A, not talked about enough, openly enough, and that, I don't know, men just, like, A, don't talk to women and get their take on things. And they're just misinformed and don't feel very open about things.
It really kind of feels like, so I have 4 sons, age 16 to 26, and it kind of feels like guys are in a silo and girls are in a different silo. And there's not as much engagement as I remember, but I mean, obviously, you know, memory isn't 100% accurate either. Is that your experience? I mean, is your friend group like mostly guys?
I mean, all of my roommates are, and by extension, yeah, I guess mostly, but there's plenty of women in my friend group. And I don't know where it doesn't exactly come up in conversation very often.
Right.
But we're, quote unquote, chill about it. I don't know. I don't know if there's a good way to phrase it.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to talk about because it's just so not part of who you are and what you do.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wish I was listening for your last segment when you were talking to, I didn't catch his name, the guy from, was it Men for Choice? Alan from that organization. Feel like that would have been a great conversation to hear.
It is a great conversation. And for our audience out there who might have missed it, if you want to listen to it, you can always catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on, it's a podcast. You can catch it on civicmedia.us and wherever you get your podcasts. So that's always fun. And if you want to learn more about Men for Choice, you can go to men4choice.org. They've got a great fellowship program. It's really about just coming together, teaching each other, and then going out and doing that relational organizing, which you can do with any topic. It's really just the process of talking with your friends about issues that you care about and trying to move something forward, because the world is hard right now, and it's hard to talk about some of these issues that have become really political, not just abortion, which is huge in my world as a woman and an OBGYN doctor, but, you know, something as fundamental as the economy, which is a great question to ask you as a young person. Where are you at with all of these economic changes that are happening? Are you paying attention? Are you trying not to pay attention because you feel powerless about it?
Well,
or where's your mind at?
I mean, when I'm outside of work, because I just get bombarded with it when I'm here, I, not going to lie, completely tune out from most stuff. I'm also, like I said, I'm living with roommates in downtown Madison, so stuff is very, very expensive. So I guess I'm conscious of definitely how much things cost. I'm not really paying attention much to the stock market, though. I don't have like a retirement fund yet or anything. I know that it is affecting plenty of people across the country quite a bit, though, in a very uncertain times economically that we're living in, which is not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the stock market is so reactionary. You know, like something comes out, a whisper or a change in a plan, and the
tariffs
stock market
reacts. Tariffs
get delayed
for 90 days. Stocks rebound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it takes a while for that to filter down and actually affect the cost of goods and services. And that's when it really hits home, I think, for most people. And it sounds like you too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And later this hour, right around 8:30, we're going to welcome Carla Smith and Teresa Fredericks to talk about the cost of childcare, which is something you're probably not thinking about right now either.
I know it's real tough in Wisconsin. I can't even fathom it right now. Glad I don't have a kid.
It's hard. It's people who do the child care piece, these people who are college educated in early childhood development are making less than people who don't have a college degree and serve you food at restaurants. And we all need a living wage. But man, it's crazy to me that we can't pay the people who are taking care of our most valuable, vulnerable people in society, you know? Children.
Exactly. Children, yeah. And old people. People,
yes.
Working on trying to cut Social Security, Medicaid, all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
But kids too.
Yeah.
Like, to be a kid and be conscious of this issue, which I'm sure that there are some kids who know that their parents are like having a hard time being able to pay for their daycare. I wonder what kind of an effect that's having on like some kids. I never had to deal with something like that when I was young, thankfully. But boy, to grow up like that. And to
Were you
to
a daycare kid?
For a little bit of when I was growing up, yeah. I went to before and after school every day, pretty much, because my parents both worked very early in the morning. So similar, had to deal with it.
Yeah. But as a parent, you need those things in order to be able to go to work and earn a wage. It is like if society is working and providing all those, not just safeguards, but like that net to ensure that we can all be as productive and healthy as possible. That's great. Those are all those social determinants that allow us to live in a holistic way. But we're missing, it's a Swiss cheese model right now. There are so many holes in the way that we live. You know, I remember being a young person and not having health insurance, but I didn't need it. But now that I'm older, I need it, and it's expensive. And I can't imagine what it would be like to be working in a job like an early childhood or child care provider and not being able to afford your health insurance.
Right,
right. Yeah.
I've been joking with John and Gordy, the host that I usually produce. I had to schedule a doctor appointment on my own this week, I think for the first time. And It's been at least 3 years since I went to go see a doctor. Part of the reason it's been so long is A, because I moved to Madison, B, because it's just so, the whole medical system is just so complicated. I'm still on my parents' insurance, thankfully. I don't have to pay for my own, but gosh, when I turn 26, I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, it's complicated even to know who do you go see and what kind of a visit do you ask for? And there are so many questions. It's so much harder than it needs to be. And that discourages people from getting the kind of care that we need, especially routine preventive care when you don't have a problem that needs to be solved and you're just doing it for maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, brother. Well, we're not solving that problem today, but, you know, we're picking away at it. And later this morning, like I mentioned, we're going to be talking about childcare and healthcare and how that all fits together. And then at the end of the morning, we're going to be talking with Jane Matinair about her show. So I want you to stick around. This is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley. We've got Sam and... Are you going to say
Dom.
Anything?
There we go.
Dom.
Dom?
Yep.
Dom and Davison.
There.
Dom, you are welcome to chat. We want you part of this conversation.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. So when we come back, we've got Dom and Davison and Doc, the whole crew. Let's keep this conversation going.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
Better begins with the way we live life together, the way we help each other, and the way we inspire and encourage one another. At Aspirus Health, better begins with our dedication to providing expert care that improves lives, establishing healthy families and healthy communities, yours and ours, for a lifetime. Life is a journey, and we're here for you. Better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here. And right now, we're welcoming to our studios on the phone lines, Out Loud Marathon County. We have with us Andrea Hunvinik? I get close?
Hugenvik.
Okay. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I really, really appreciate you joining us. We've been looking for an opportunity to talk with Out Loud and bring a little more attention to this great organization and the work that's going on. And our producer here, Laura, found a perfect time of year to do this because May 17th is International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. And we'll get into that a little bit more in a moment and some of the outreach and events that are available with Out Loud. If you don't mind, Andrea, I would like to get into the history of the organization to kind of start things off.
Yeah, so Out Loud as an organization started just over a year ago. We brought together a group of folks from across Marathon County and most kind of Wausau metro area, but we've certainly got some people from kind of outer Marathon County as well involved with our group. To really come together and be able to create safe spaces for people, to be able to celebrate queer and trans joy, and to be able to just be together, and also to help do some outreach and some education within our community about what it's like to be queer and trans, what it's the sort of experience that people are having, and how we can do better to welcome queer and trans community members.
It's just a great thing to be able to highlight and talk about that this organization exists and there is something there for individuals. I have to say that for me, this hits personal ties. Now, I am as far as the rainbow goes, I am straight, but I moved to this state about 20 some years ago. And when me and my family moved here, there weren't a whole lot of mixed kids. I am Jewish and Catholic. I am Egyptian, Italian. I am the United Nations. I just have a lot of, and there, you know, especially here in central Wisconsin, this is before we had a bigger Hmong population and some of these things. So my family, we stood out, and it was, there was not a lot of, things that didn't make us feel like we stood out, that made us feel like we were part of the community, part of the area. To see organizations like this under on any level for any groups of people, small or large, is a win for us as a society, is a win for us as a state and as a whole. This just, you know, highlights and brings our state more, makes us look better as far as to other cities, to other states out there, which is important as every state in the union is trying to bring people to their state. I'm going at this from one angle right now, just to start off, because I feel like you covered, Andrea, the importance of this organization when it comes to the heart and the humanity of human beings. But to those that are maybe on the fence on it or anything, the economic impact an organization like this makes in being a more friendly state is gigantic. Take a look around the union and take a look at the states that are increasing in population and that aren't. And there are certain factors that stand out as far as that goes. And states that are more welcoming are just doing better, whether it's the economy, the population, whatever it might be. So I would hope that anybody out there listening cares about this kind of thing, that what we're talking about here. But even if you don't, I bet you care about your taxes. I bet you care about your economy. An organization like this, And maybe in a domino way, but in a way, certainly a strong way, helps out our communities in many different angles and many different levels.
We are definitely seeing that. You know, here in central Wisconsin, and in Madison or Milwaukee, the kind of population is doing differently than it is here in central Wisconsin. But we're definitely interested in attracting more folks to central Wisconsin and to keeping more folks in central Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And something that we have definitely seen in communities across the country is that kids go to high school, they graduate, and then if they feel like they don't belong in their communities, they leave and they don't come back again. Mm-hmm. So being able to create spaces where those kids feel like they still belong and are welcome means they're more likely to stay in their communities rather than go somewhere else.
You couldn't have put it better. Exactly it. I can already tell, Andrea, you and I are going to get along really well, especially in where it takes me 100 words to say something, you get like 5 words and you say exactly what I was trying to say. So that's going to work out really good for us.
I regularly do interviews at my job, my actual day job as well, and we try and get them in 5 minutes. So I'm really good at that 5-minute interview.
That's good. I have to ask, because I love people. I love their stories, the arc of a human being. So I just out of interest for the audience, for myself, how did you get involved with Out Loud?
Yeah, so I was one of the initial founding members. My name is on the original IRS document, which I'm very proud and excited that mm-hmm. that was a thing that happened for me. This has always been really close to my heart and something that's really important to me. I have a lot of empathy for all people and making sure that people have safe places to be. Even as a small child, I think my mom would tell you, that I was very interested, even in kindergarten, making sure that everyone really felt like they were safe and that they belonged in our classrooms and our spaces. So it's something that's been really close to my heart and important for me. Also, being here in central Wisconsin, I moved here to Wausau 8 years ago, and I really struggled to make friends. I really struggled to find people that were kind of my vibe and that were going to be good friends for me. And I think part of that is not that they're not here. It's that there's no sort of coalescing force for people to get together and meet each other and be together in community. So being a part of an organization that was going to build some of that co- coalescing force for people to be able to find one another was really important for me.
I really genuinely believe that everybody out there listening right now could find a relatability to that in one way or another. Certainly on the level you're talking about it or that I referenced earlier, or maybe you're the new kid at a school or the new at a job or something like that and having a difficult time talking to people, let alone making friends or anything.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. During a House Appropriations Committee hearing last week, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was questioned about his vaccine views in Washington. Lisa Hale has more.
Wisconsin's 2nd District Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan asked Kennedy if he had a child today, whether he would vaccinate that child against measles. His answer?
For measles, probably for measles. What I would say is my opinions about vaccines are irrelevant.
The exchange came amid ongoing but waning measles outbreaks in the United States. The head of Health and Human Services in President Trump's administration also said,
I don't think people should be taking advice, medical advice,
right,
from me.
As HHS Secretary, Kennedy's job is to protect the health of Americans and manage various agencies such as the CDC and the FDA.
Budget negotiations are at a standstill in Madison. Stuart J. Waddles has the story.
Senate leaders are urging Governor Evers to meet this week to keep talks on track before the fiscal year ends. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu and Speaker Robin Voss say their tax cut proposal is on hold until they can sit down with the governor. Democrats are criticizing Republicans for delaying debate on key budget items.
The annual Click It or Ticket campaign begins today and runs through June 1st. The Portage County Sheriff's Office is joining law enforcement agencies across the state and country to reinforce the life-saving habit of wearing a seatbelt. Buckling up is one of the easiest and most effective steps you can take to survive a crash. Wisconsin law allows officers to stop and cite motorists for not wearing a seatbelt. The goal of the Click It or Ticket campaign is to reduce fatal crashes and coincides with the first summer travel holiday. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Scarlett Johansson says after her breakout role in 2003's Lost in Translation, she enjoyed success, but it came with the baggage of being offered acting roles that objectified her. The actress told Vanity Fair that she felt she was being exploited and had to have a talk with her representatives about what kind of roles she wanted. She also said her co-star in the film, Bill Murray, was in a strange place during the filming, saying that he was dealing with stuff. Love when people allude to things but don't give you the full tea. She did say she thinks Murray is in a much better place now as life has humbled him. If you haven't seen Sofia Coppola's Lost in Translation, it's a great movie and Johansson is excellent. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today with a high in the mid to upper 50s this afternoon. A little breezy at times, especially later this afternoon. Tonight, breezy with showers after midnight, are low in the low 40s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered rain and a high in the mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people may seize that any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend, including the state Republican convention with our friends at Wisconsin Watch and State Senator Royce on the Joint Finance Committee budget process. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning and welcome back to Mornings with Pat Kreitler on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley here with Sam Davison and Dom. And we are Davison, Dom, and the Doc. We just keep changing the name of the show as it evolves.
I'm good with whatever. We're all here.
Sam's like, you guys talk, I'll push the button. Well, that's good because we have some incredible guests. So you can take a little break because we have incredible guests. We have Teresa Fredericks. She is the owner and manager of Treetop Development Center and Preschool. And we've got Carla Smith. She's an attorney in Northwestern Wisconsin. They are based in Ashland and they're joining us this morning to talk about childcare. We all need it. I have four kids of my own. We had to beg, steal, and borrow to get childcare as they were growing, and things have only gotten harder. Ladies, welcome to Mornings with Pat Kreitler.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Teresa, why don't you start and just tell us, first of all, give us a little background on who you are. Sure. What you do. I think you have such an extraordinary story. This isn't just a job for you. This is who you are.
It's who I am. It's kind of a legacy that I have carried on from my mom. I'm a second generation owner. She started when I was 5 months old. So I like to say I've been here forever. We just celebrated 52 years in business. And it wasn't actually my plan to do this, but I think I had to leave in order to appreciate it. And that it just was my calling. I have a degree to teach 6th through 12th grade natural science and biology. So I started helping her out when I finished my student teaching and she was going through an expansion. And through that, I went and said, why did I not go early childhood? This is just so natural. And so since then, I've been the owner since 2010. And got my master's in early childhood education to also help support what we do here.
You have a master's. You are the owner. This is a business that was started by your mom. This is hardwired in you.
It is. Little known fact, my brother couldn't say my name, Teresa, and called me Treetop. So when she was looking for a catchy name, I'm like, I guess it's just been in my destiny.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. Hey, and Carla, how are you involved here? You're an attorney, but more.
I am an attorney. I moved back. I actually grew up with Teresa a few years younger than her. And when I came back to the area about 5 years ago, I had young children of my own. And we were looking for phenomenal childcare. And everyone in the area loves Teresa, loves Treetop. We only have a few options. And my husband was a stay-at-home dad at the time. And there comes a point where we felt like we just couldn't give him all that he needed in terms of structure, in terms of academics, in terms of social. Teresa has a large kind of outdoor program that the kids can amble through the trails. And we were looking for something, but we didn't have any options around here. And so we ended up on the wait list. For several places, one of the places we got off the wait list on, but we said, no, we want to wait for a Treetop. And so we were on the wait list for probably 6 months. And then we were one of the lucky ones.
Well, and you were one of the lucky ones because you had flexibility and you could start him at just 2 days a week, which is how most of my families get in, because I'm licensed for 33 and I have 39 children because we have some staggered schedules. And so if you're flexible, you have a better chance of getting in. Some are on the wait list for years. And it's not just me either. Pretty much every program we have here, we just don't have enough options.
I work with families every day. I work with kids in the courthouse. I work with parents. I work with small business owners. This is a significant problem in this area. I mean, these small business owners are looking for employees. I mean, they're being strangled. They are trying to find employees, and you have people like my spouse or a lot of other parents who want to be back in the workforce, who want to be productive, and they just can't do it when they have small children at home. And so to us, it's a no-brainer for people who want to get back to the workforce. It gives them an option. People who want to stay home, that's wonderful. They can continue staying home, but the amount of financial independence it gives people, as well as how it grows the GDP, you would think that this is a bipartisan issue. And I think in most states, they realize, both from the economic and the things it gives children, is it's a no-brainer. It's a win-win for everybody. And even judges, and it doesn't matter if these judges are conservative, it doesn't matter if they're liberal, when you're in the courtroom arguing for the best interests of children, a lot of them at-risk homes, they want those children to be in places like Treetop to provide for the stability and provide for a haven for these kids to have a leg up when they get to kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. It's obviously, it's a feel-good thing. It's the right thing to do. But socially, it is necessary. And economically, I love that you brought that up, Carla, because this is a huge economic driver that allows people to participate in the workforce. And that's not a new thing. Teresa, what have you seen over time? You've been doing this a long time. Has this always been an issue? Are we at a certain flashpoint in time? Why is it a crisis now?
It actually isn't a crisis now. It has been a problem. Back in 2013, they've done some studies and they've monitored the market of how many childcare providers have been out there, and it has been a decline since 2010. And if you look at the charts, it started to be stabilized when COVID happened, and that was because we got the funding, and so we were able to freeze the tuition for parents. We were able to raise wages for teachers. So we were able to recruit more teachers during that time. And then if you look again, some programs closed when our funds got cut in half, and then again when they got cut again. So we know that this has always been an issue. How can you be stabilized if your payments are only coming from the parents? We need public investment in order for this to work.
You mentioned earlier that the average wage for these college-educated early childhood specialists is $13 an hour.
That's with the funds. Prior to this, it was $10. So we're fighting for that $13 just to stabilize. And then we have more work to do because obviously it's very important work. Birth to five, 90% of the brain development happens during this time. Why would we not invest in that? It's best for our economy. The return of rate for every dollar spent is something like 7 to 17. So the younger the child, the more return of investment you have. It just makes sense. I don't understand why it's not black and white for everyone.
It does make sense. And from an early childhood provider's standpoint, that's a tough wage. $13 an hour is less than people who work in restaurants or gas stations.
It is. And I I really value my staff, and I want to retain quality staff. And so how do I do that? By working a whole lot of hours. I not only am the owner, the director, I'm the preschool teacher. Sometimes I'm a cook. I can be maintenance. And so that's a wage, like that preschool teacher wage is something I don't have to spend, so I can pay my other teachers more, but it's not right. And that's not sustainable either.
It's not sustainable from a provider standpoint, and it's not sustainable from an access standpoint for parents either. No. Carla, can you speak to that as a parent? I'm the mom of four kids. I have definitely struggled to pay for childcare, but my kids are older now. What are you seeing?
Well, it's incredible. So Teresa is a godsend. I mean, honestly, I would go into when I drop my son off and she would have a baby strapped to her back. She'd be cooking, you know, lunch. She'd be dealing with, you know, teaching other kids. And the kids, as a parent, I drop off my kids at elementary school every day. And when I walk through those halls and I see the kids that went through Treetop, it's incredible to see the skills they have. I mean, they're structured. They are academically advanced. They're, it's incredible what she and her program. And my daughter's first grade teacher, one of the best teachers I've ever seen, and she actually taught at Treetop while she was in college. Just a phenomenal human being. And as a parent, it's hard. I mean, it's hard when you are struggling with the demands of everything. I have two children, and to try to afford childcare on top of trying to get them academically ready for school, it's essential to have these childhood education centers like Teresa does.
It's a struggle for parents. It's a struggle for providers. Governor Evers has called this the year of the child. He put $480 million into his budget to sustain us where we're at now, which is still a struggle. Mm-hmm. But what we saw with joint finance is they removed all of that funding. We don't know what the plan is for child care moving forward. And we know that the funds that have been sustaining this are going away at the end of June. Teresa, what will the impact on your center and centers in general be in Wisconsin?
Well, it's slated to be 25% of programs are going to be closing. They will not be able to sustain anymore. For my program, I will have to raise my rates, and I've already notified my families. It will be upward of $20 to $25 per child per week. Now, I know in bigger cities, it's more. We're rural, so it tends to be a little less than more urban areas. But, you know, they know that. They advocate right with me, and all we can do is let our legislators know that this is important. It's important for our economy. It's important for the children and so that parents can work.
Mm-hmm. Carla, we've got about a minute left. What do you see as the impact on our communities as a parent and a community leader?
Well, it was fun because for Treetop, we had a little get-together, a protest last week, and you had parents out there, I mean, both Republicans and Democrats, both conservatives and liberals, saying this is such an essential, and I love the word investment that Teresa uses, because this investment pays off in dividends. I mean, exactly what you said, Dr. Lyerly, is it's a good feel thing to do, but it's an investment in our future for our communities, our parents, our teachers, you know, our businesses.
Mm-hmm. And in a small community like Ashland, these are your neighbors. These aren't just random people off the street. Teresa has been an investment in Ashland for over 52 years. Yeah. Hey, I want to thank you both for taking the time to join us this morning and for your incredible advocacy work and for taking care of some of the most vulnerable people in our communities and our communities in general. Very grateful to you both.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Yeah, thank you.
You're so welcome. We're going to be talking about this on my podcast this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 3 p.m. on WISS and WGBW. On the other side of the state, in Sheboygan, where community leaders and child care providers will also be sharing their stories. So thank you again to our guests. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
At Tri-City Services, we're so proud to be celebrating 80 years of trusted service to Central Wisconsin. Since 1945, Tri-City has been the name you can trust to stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer. We're offering a limited-time anniversary special. When you purchase a new air conditioner, you'll get $19.45 off a new furnace. Call 715-423-5840 today or visit calltricity.com to schedule your free quote.
We're not comfortable until you are.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
When it comes to these programs and the outreach that's available, I think that it's all the more important that you guys are the work that you guys are doing. What are some of the programs that are available with Out Loud?
Yeah, so I think one of my new favorites, we just started this, Kin and Kind here in Wausau was generous enough to host us this month, is for a program called Cheers Queers, where we are just doing sort of bar takeovers. One night only, once a month at a bar, we take over and turn it into a gay bar. So we have one coming up on June 20th is our next one. And we'll be at Uncommon Pints in Rothschild. So it really is this opportunity. You know, like you mentioned on the school bus, it's hard sometimes to walk into a room and not be sure what's going to happen there, right? Is somebody going to be grossed out by you sitting at the table next to them? This is an opportunity to be able to, walk into a bar and know that you're going to be not just welcome, but really like exuberantly welcomed into the bar. Folks are really excited to have you and to have you be there. It has very quickly become my favorite program that we are doing now. So again, our next one is June 20th. We'll be at Uncommon Pints. Some other things that we have been working on, we have two kind of long-standing support groups that are happening. We have a support group for queer and for trans and non-binary folks, which has been very successful. It happens once a month. It's just an opportunity to get together and talk about what are the things that trans and non-binary folks are going through, having someone else who understands what your experience is, being able to talk about that in a really supportive and understanding kind of an environment. And then we also have a support group for parents of queer and trans kids. And this is a really great opportunity for parents who maybe don't know what's going on, maybe have some questions, maybe have some feelings, to be able to come in and say, you know, my kid came out, and my kid, when I say my kid, I maybe mean kid, but also maybe mean adult child, right? Mm-hmm. Once they're your kid, they're always your kid.
Yeah.
But to be able to come in and say, you know, my kid came out as queer or trans, and I don't know what I'm doing here. You know, I'm scared for their safety, but I don't want to be paranoid in front of my kid and put that worry on them. Like, yeah. My kid is changing their pronouns, and like, please help me. What are the tips or tricks to be able to do that in the most kind of effective way? You know, I just have questions. My kid's using all kinds of terms, but I do not understand. Please tell me what these things are.
Yeah.
So that I don't look like an idiot in front of my kid, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's not a blueprint for so many things that we're learning to adapt to and grow into as a society. From everything from mental health to different ways to recycle to a topic like we're talking about here. We are fixing the boat while we're on the water. And I think that when that comes to that, one of the first and best things we can do for all of each other is giving each other some grace with this and some understanding that, hey, I have a question, but I'm afraid to ask. And again, talk about a relatable feeling. Everybody's been in that one. I feel very confident saying everybody's felt that before. So you immediately empathize with that. And then it is just a matter of taking that big, brave, giant step of asking the question. And it really is. I don't like using the word brave lightly. I mean that. I think it is very brave to ask those questions and to reach out and say, I don't know, but I want to know. That's a great thing to be able to do, not just for, you know, yourself or anything, and obviously for the person in your life. But I think just as a great example in society, the more and more people we have doing this, the more and more common it seems to just ask the questions that maybe make us a little uncomfortable for a moment. But then think about all the time you're going to spend knowing that information, how much better you're going to feel.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And this is our parent support group is a great opportunity for this, because so often we don't want to push that labor onto the folks who are most directly involved with it, right? We saw this with racism as well. We saw a lot of Black and brown people were doing a lot of work for white people about understanding racism. This is a great opportunity to sort of get out of that, talk to other parents, be able to process your feelings, work through your stuff, ask your questions without directly asking your kid to help you with that work.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to that knowledge and understanding it, taking it in and everything, there's nobody who couldn't be benefited by it. Even if you are not an individual who has a child who is going through something like that, or you're just somebody who wants to know more about this subject, cannot encourage you enough to reach out to the gang at Out Loud, that want to answer those questions, that want to share this information and help out in any way they can. Were there any other events or any other programs you wanted to highlight, Andrea?
Yeah, so one thing I do definitely want to mention is that we have some open hours at our center. So we do have a physical location for Out Loud, and we do have open hours for that. So if you check our website or our social media, you can find what hours of the week that is. But one thing that we did, we got a very generous grant from some folks to be able to build a library at our center.
Wow.
So if you have questions you don't want to ask, please feel free to stop by. We've got tons of books. We've got like actual fiction, fun to read books. We've got fiction, but maybe not as fun to read books. We've got nonfiction. We've got fun nonfiction. We've got nonfiction that really is more of that kind of instruction manual that you were talking about earlier. Mm. Be able to just go through and read, like, okay, LGBTQIA+, what that is a lot of letters. What are those letters? Mm-hmm. Right, to be able to just do some of that work on your own as well. So I highly recommend stop by our offices. We've got lots of books, lots of resources. We've got folks there who are more than happy to answer questions, to be in community with you. If you just want to come and vent about how hard it is to date as a queer person in Marathon County, we will absolutely vent with you all day long.
That's right there is automatically a great resource.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your...
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Joe Biden thanks his well-wishers following his prostate cancer diagnosis. Here's CBS's Steve Kathan.
This morning on X, former President Biden posted, "Cancer touches us all." And he writes, "Thank you for lifting us up with love and support."
This 82-year-old Biden's been diagnosed with an aggressive prostate cancer that's spread to his bones. President Trump's spending bill has finally cleared the House Budget Committee after a late-night session last night. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
There's a lot more work to do. We've always acknowledged that. Towards the end, there will be more details to iron out. We have several more to take care of. But I'm looking forward to very thoughtful discussions, very productive discussions over the next few days.
The bill increases spending for the military and immigration enforcement while cutting funding for food stamps, Medicaid, and clean energy subsidies. After this weekend's killer tornadoes in Kentucky and Missouri.
I'm going to be out here for weeks and months trying to help build back lives of people that I love, that I care about.
We're all blessed just to be alive.